Saturday with Maria McCann on WLRFM.
But first of all, this morning, I want to introduce you to a lady I've been hoping to speak to for quite some time. And this will be of particular interest to those of you who struggle with your weight, those of you who find you can't live without certain foods, and those of you who really want to lose weight but can't seem to stop filling your face. Zoe Harkham is an obesity specialist and author of the book Stop Counting Calories, Start Losing Weight. And I'm delighted to welcome her to the programme. Morning, Zoe.
Good morning.
Now, the idea that if you are overweight, that all you have to do is eat less and move more is a real bugbear for those of us who've carried a little bit of extra timber over the years, in which I include myself, that if it was that easy, there wouldn't be any fat people.
That's absolutely, I mean, you've got to the nail of the issue, banging one there. If eat less, do more worked, we wouldn't have a problem, let alone an epidemic.
And you have a particular, like you think the whole calorie thing is wrong.
I do. I mean, we've actually fundamentally misapplied the laws of physics to the body. And there is no law of the universe that says energy in equals energy out. Without going into the two laws that do have relevance that are about energy conservation and are quite complex, just trust me, there is no direct balance between what goes in and what goes out. And if anyone doubts that, just put diesel in a petrol car and see what comes out. It's nothing. And, you know, some of the products that we're consuming today likely are the equivalent of putting diesel in a petrol car. I just don't believe that the body is designed to run on sugar and white flour and yeast autolysate and maltodextrin and butyrohydrogenate and stuff you wouldn't even recognise if you actually read the labels of what we're putting into humans today.
So what should we be eating then? Just take people through your own particular philosophy.
It's so simple. I mean, I almost feel like I'm a spokesperson for Mother Nature. I just think we need to go back to eating real food. And I shouldn't have to call it real food. I should be able to just call it food. But we have demonized real food. We have this mad idea that fat is bad for us. And, of course, nature puts fat in all real foods, whether it's meat or fish or dairy products or eggs. Even grains have some fat in them. Nature quite deliberately puts fat and protein in real foods, and those are the most nutritious products, and that's what we need to go back to eating.
You have also a very interesting take on things like food intolerances and, you know, sugar, if you have candida and things like that, that a lot of people have problems with now. But I just want to get a little bit of history about yourself. How did you get into all of this?
Oh, great question. First interest in food of any kind was when my brother developed type 1 diabetes, and that often happens in teenage years. He was 15, I was 13, and just to watch my brother drop 20 pounds in 20 days, and, you know, immediately you look and say, well, how did that happen? And you can't miss the connection between insulin and weight. I mean, it's just absolutely staring us in the face. And yet we're told to eat carbohydrates all day long, which then produce insulin, which then make us fat. It's, you know, you almost think, why am I the only person who's seeing this? You know, I'm not the only person. But it's the rare person that is making that connection. I then personally developed anorexia as a teenager. I do believe that that's a psychological condition. It's about control. It's about esteem. And it's about a lot of emotional things that teenagers go through. But what was really interesting for me was when I was sort of coming out of the anorexia, I just experienced the most insatiable food cravings. And it was like the pendulum swung one way where I didn't eat much, and then it just swung the other way, and I couldn't stop eating. And I set out to answer the question, why am I eating all this food when I want more than anything in the world to be slim? Why am I eating boxes of chocolates and packets of crisps? And it just didn't make sense. And that's when I came onto the three conditions. I started reading books individually on candida, which I'd never heard of before, food intolerance, which I'd also never heard of, and hyperglycemia. And making the connections was just incredible. Doctors were writing about each condition separately, and you'd read a passage in the book where the doctor would say, oh, my patient is, you know, 300 pounds, you know, which is like stones and stones. It's huge. And she's insatiably craving food, and my other patient is going to the 7-Eleven in the middle of the night. And you just want to go, whoa, stop there, guys. You know, you have just made a huge discovery about weight and overeating, and yet they would just move on because they were just writing about this condition. And candida, for example, is a yeast living inside all of us. And if it overgrows, it will encourage cravings for yeasty foods, sweet foods, pickled foods, some quite strange foods, but it's a parasite that is demanding to be fed. and we go out and feed it. And, you know, that's one of the big reasons for food cravings.
Yeah, I always think that thin people who don't have any weight problem at all, they can't understand how it's not as easy as just saying, I'm not hungry and I'm not going to eat. That there's you really do get addicted to the wrong kind of food.
Totally. I mean, there was a study just last week that was published in New Scientist, and they'd fed some rats some syrup over a month period, and within a month they managed to get these rats totally addicted to syrup. And they were showing withdrawal symptoms when they didn't have the syrup. They were showing, you know, dopamine release, which is the same as with recreational drugs, when they were having the syrup. Back as far as 1972, a guy called John Yudkin wrote a book called Pure, White and Deadly, and he was talking about sugar. He wasn't talking about heroin. And I totally believe that this stuff is so addictive.
Oh, absolutely, because one of the reasons that I was so keen to speak to you was because I used to be a lot heavier than I am now, and for me, sugar is my Achilles heel. Yeah. And I could have polished off, back in the day, I could have polished off 3 or 4 bars of chocolate in a sitting, no problem whatsoever.
Yeah.
I like literally cramming them into my mouth on occasions, you know, not even tasting them, just wanting another fix, another fix, another fix. I'd be awake at night, my heart would be pounding, going, Jesus, what am I worried about? I wasn't worried about anything. I was addicted to sugar.
Absolutely. I so totally understand that, having been there. And I think it's why it helps me help clients, and, you know, why so many people resonate with the book. Because I understand, you know, I go to obesity conferences where I meet sometimes a fat dietitian, sometimes a skinny dietitian. But if they haven't ever had this problem, they just walk around saying, you know, overweight people are greedy and weak-willed. They need to eat less, do more, you know, full stop, get over it. And it's like, you are so insulting and so patronizing and so not understanding the problem. And it's like, you know, which part of eat less, do more do fat people not get? It's like, whoa, I just want to punch them and say, you know, you wouldn't talk to an alcoholic like that, or a smoker, or a drug addict, and a sugar addict is no different.
So we have plenty more things to ask you, but I just need to take a break at this juncture. Can you hold for me?
Of course I can, no problem.
Okay, back with more with Zoe Harcombe after these.
Saturday with Maria McCann on WLRFM.
Brought to you by Ardkeen Quality Food Store. Love food, spend less.
You're welcome back to the programme. My special guest is still with me. She is Zoe Harcombe. She's an obesity specialist and author of several books as well. And she says there is a way to lose weight, not by counting calories, but by eating the right foods. I love food. I love eating. I get pleasure out of food. And I don't want to have to sit there with, you know, a Rivita and a tomato for the rest of my life. I wanted to find a way whereby I could eat proper food and still, like, be healthy and drop weight as well.
Yeah.
And then I happened on your book, Stop Counting Calories and Start Losing Weight. And that was the start of it. And that, as I said, is why I was so anxious to talk to you. Now, don't let me give anyone the impression that I'm a slinky little size 10. No, I'm not. I'm a little bit too self-indulgent for that. I would still, I suppose, be classed as overweight, but I'd be curvy now as opposed to fat the way I was before. And what I loved about this is that I was able to eat food even during what you think is the strict phase. I didn't find that strict at all.
I mean, it's way, you know, a lot of people say that they do phase one and it's like, my goodness, this is more than I've eaten in the last 10 years. Now, the problem with counting calories is that your body just adjusts, and I study obesity for a living, so, you know, we have journals going back to 1945 where experiments were done showing that, you know, you try and feed people less, the body just adjusts downwards. And you get, you know, I got to the point when I was anorexic, I would put on weight on 1,000 calories a day. You know, that should not be physically possible. So, you know, women are cutting back and then cutting back. Then they find they have to starve to not gain weight. You know, we have women particularly all over the world trying to live on 1,000, 1,200 calories a day. They're not losing anymore, you know, if indeed they ever did. But they're having to do that to even try and hold on to whatever weight loss they may have achieved. I mean, they're starving. They're hungry, they're irritable, crabby, miserable, undernourished, lacking vital vitamins and minerals. And we just let this continue. We just got to start eating real food again.
Now, you have a way in the book for people who want to find out what their particular Achilles heel is. And there's questionnaires to find out maybe if candida is your problem, hypoglycemia, or a food intolerance.
Yes.
And people just answer those questions and then they can get ready to rock and roll.
Yeah. I mean, some of them are so easy. I mean, candida, you can have physical symptoms. Women, it would manifest itself in thrush. anyone I see who's got dandruff, immediately I'm just looking at a yeast infection. I mean, they've got a candida overgrowth, which could be causing cravings. The really simple one for food intolerance is to be really honest with yourself. And if I said to you, you had to give something up, what would you least want it to be? And when people say, oh, there's no way I could give up my bread or my cereal, wheat intolerance, you know, there's no way I could give up my chocolate or my biscuits, sugar and possibly wheat as well. It's just the things that people don't want to give up, you're actually addicted to. But the good news is you can get stuff through the body so quickly. And the reason phase one is only 5 days long is in 5 days you can massively attack those cravings. You get to the point that you really could take something or leave it, and then it's for you to make the right choice.
And I can't stress this enough, you'll have food to eat. Can you just give us a sample day's menu for what you think is the strict phase?
Okay, I mean, strict phase, breakfast would likely be bacon and eggs, because fat is absolutely not bad for us. It's got all the nutrients in it. Lunch could be prawn cocktail for starter, steak and salad or vegetables, pork chops with crackling for lunch, and then dinner, you could have a big brown rice chicken stir fry or just the brown rice stir fry. You could have brown rice pasta with tomato sauce. You know, everything cooked from scratch, doesn't take very long. It's incredibly simple stuff that we're trying to get people to eat.
And a fair old portion, none of
Absolutely.
Your saucer shapes.
It's so important not to go hungry, because the minute the human body gets hungry, it sends out all these, you know, shaky hands, irritability, crabbiness, can't concentrate. That's the body trying to get us to eat, and we've got to take those signs away. They're very destructive when we're trying to lose weight.
But we can't have, say, a steak and a baked potato. We could have a baked potato and something else, can't we?
Yeah, I mean, we don't mix. I'm a mathematician by background, and this just came about from sheer logic. And when you study nutrition professionally and you look at how the body uses different food groups for energy, the minute the body sees a carbohydrate, it wants to use that for energy. It's just so easy for the body to use it. So if you have a baked potato and cheese, the body will say, oh, I'll use the potato for immediate energy, and I quite like to save some stuff for later on. And the cheese is the obvious thing to store for later on. Now, the body can only store stuff for later on if it's got insulin. And it's only got insulin if you've eaten the carbohydrate. So by eating the baked potato with the cheese, you've created the perfect environment for the body to be able to store fat for later on. So we would have cheese with a salad so that there's no measurable carb content available. And then the body has to start using the cheese for immediate energy.
I mean, one of my favourites, and I wouldn't be a cook by any manner of means, Zoe, I can tell you, but the butternut squash curry.
Oh, isn't it just a divine?
It's divine.
My husband's creations, actually, and it is the ultimate favourite recipe that anyone's ever commented on. It just gets so many comments.
It really is. And when you do manage to crack a problem like this, it really is life-changing. I mean, I suppose a lot of people who would be fat would say, you know, oh, well, I don't mind and I'm happy. But really, I think everybody would like to be able to maybe go into the shops, buy normal size clothes, and, you know, the whole fashion industry is geared towards particularly skinny people. But just to be, you know, 14, 16, I think, is the perfect size.
Oh, I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous. I mean, there's a lot of evidence that just being slightly overweight is actually the healthiest range to be.
Oh, great. I'm a 16, so.
No, it really is. And I think it becomes more about just how you look. I mean, the nicest emails I get are when people email me and say, you know, I was aiming for a 10, but I'm actually at 14 and I'm really happy because I just feel so good. And what people are finding is when you eat real food and you don't eat the empty sugar calories and the empty flour calories, and you're really nourishing your body with all the vitamins and minerals that it needs. You know, they're emailing me saying I've got the energy that I had when I was 20.
But you also get a perspective on what you were like when you were addicted, the difference between the two states, don't you?
I mean, I can remember my sugar addiction. I did a letter in our club at the weekend, a newsletter, and I actually did it on sugar addiction. And 15 years on, I could write about it as if it were yesterday. And I bet smokers would be able to say that as well. I can remember the horror of feeling that something else was taking over you, that you didn't feel in control. You felt powerless. You felt at any time you would be out seeking chocolate or biscuits or, you know, finding the nearest store that was open. It just ruled your life. And I just got to the point where I didn't want that anymore. I never want to be addicted to anything again. And I've got this technique now. You know, I can eat dark chocolate every day, pork chops with crackling, you know, cream and strawberries. I never go hungry. I love my food. I do not miss biscuits or white flour cakes and sugar. I just don't miss that junk. It's not a treat to me anymore.
Does the 80-20 rule kind of apply here? Just say if you're, you know, at a function or something. Like when you get to a weight that you're happy with, can you be quite flexible with it?
Oh, definitely. I mean, phase three is all about really cheating well. And I call it cheating. So you don't start seeing these things as treats. You see them as cheats. And the big tips are don't cheat too much, don't cheat too often, and just be really alert to it. So you'll be able to go to the wedding, you'll be able to have absolutely anything you want to eat at the wedding, but then don't have absolutely anything the next day and the day after, because it's amazing how quickly cravings can return for junk food. So you'd have it one day and then, you know, back to eating good food the next. You can go out for a meal later on in the week and have it again. You know, it's really about staying on top of how much you eat the good stuff and how much you give in to some of the stuff that you used to eat.
And as you say, when you start feeding your body good food, then you won't want that stuff as much as you might think you do before you start, if you know what I mean.
That is absolutely the case. I mean, I've said to people, I haven't had a biscuit for 15 years. I have not missed biscuits at all. There were times I couldn't go 15 minutes without having a biscuit. You know, that's what the craving would do. I know which state I prefer. I may never eat another biscuit again for the rest of my life, and I don't care. You know, it holds no attraction for me whatsoever. We do say to people, if you go back to having some of these things, you know, one of the main rules of cheating is count the number of ingredients in products. And if your passion is crisps, then you can get some really good quality crisps at the moment that just have baked potatoes and sunflower oil or olive oil, just two ingredients, not even salt. And then you'll find some on the shelves that have got 20 to 30 ingredients, and you will not recognize any of them. And I just don't believe that the human body can function on some of the things that we're putting into it at the moment.
You have a website.
I do indeed, yes. theharcombediet.com. We've also got a club. theharcombdietclub.com, which is a really nice, friendly, supportive club, and people come in and ask daft questions, and they come in just seeking support. You know, I'm about to cave in, please help me. And hundreds of people dive in and say, don't do it, you know how bad you'll feel, you know, stay with the program. And it's just good to have people helping each other to eat real food. That's all we're doing at the end of the day. It's no more complex than that.
Just before I let you go, of the three conditions that you've mentioned, the hypoglycemia, the candida, and the food intolerance, is there one of those that's tougher to deal with than the other two?
Yes, good question, actually. Hypoglycemia, you can get your blood sugar regulated within a couple of days. I mean, it's so quick to get your blood sugar back to normal. You just don't put the sugary, junky stuff in and your blood sugar regulates. Food intolerance, you can pretty much crack in about 4 to 5 days because the product has gone through your body. There's no reason to crave it anymore. You just stay off it. The one that takes longer is candida. And people who've got quite bad candida, to the point that they feel like they're sleepwalking, they feel a bit foggy, they feel kind of life's happening around them, and they're not quite in the current space. Candida can take a few weeks, and in extreme cases, even a few months to kick. And you really do have to stay off even what you might think of as good carbs for quite a long period of time. So serious candida, I would keep people off fruit and whole grains for quite some weeks. You know, you can survive on meat, fish, eggs, vegetable salads, natural live yogurt for a long period of time and live quite happily. And you just feel so much better when it's all cracked as well.
Yeah, it's not a hard diet to do. It really isn't. Now, I don't drink alcohol, so that probably isn't, you know, something that I don't have to worry about. I used to eat a hell of a lot of chocolate, Zoe.
A glass of red wine with the main meal at night is not a problem at all.
No. Zoe, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Lovely. Thank you ever so much. It's been a real pleasure talking to you as well. Keep up the great work.
Thanks a lot. That's Zoe Harcombe there.